Hello, everybody, and welcome to Turn to Page, Season 4, Book 4 of Twist-a-Plot, which is R.L. Stine's Golden Sword of Dragonwalk. Can you be ready for this, Raps?
I don't think I can be.
Yeah, all right, okay, we'll do this later then.
And we're back. We're back. Taking a couple years break.
Yep.
I've matured much in the period of time. I've spent a lot of my time reading fantasy novels. As far as I understand it, Golden Swords of Dragonhawk at this point, Dragonwalk rather.
Okay, hold on, Raps. We need to take another few years. You clearly weren't ready.
Right.
And we're back. Turn the page.
I'm old now.
Oh, man. Wait, why did we age at different rates? What's going on? You got too into the high fantasy that you have become the high fantasy. You have
I was already 80. I just hit 82, and that was it.
Yeah,
that's when I'm gonna get that voice.
That's just the year it happens. You started smoking a lot. It's just that one year. Mm-hmm. It's just like, anyways. But yeah, Golden Sword of Dragonwalk, by R.L. Stine, which is a wild thing because fantasy stuff would come up from time to time in Goosebumps, in a way where you can tell that it was like an interest of R.L. Stine's. But there was definitely nothing this fantasy. Like, looking at this, we have an alternate cover that looks so 80s high fantasy, it's not even funny.
We have a sorcerer who is clearly directly out of an 80s glam hair metal band.
Yeah.
down to the pursed lips and the high cheekbones. Mm-hmm. This is a very, very smoldering sorcerer.
It's a very smoldering sorcerer. He casts fireball on my heart. So this is an alternate cover, which they did for just the books in the series that R.L. Stine wrote. I think to a little bit of cash in on the Goosebumps R.L. Stine name.
Yeah, they put his name above the title.
Yeah,
this one.
In fact, above
the title of the franchise, Twist-a-Plot, even.
It's literally the most visible thing is the R.L. Stine. But we had mentioned before, like I think even before we started the Twist-a-Plot, that this one I'm very interested in due to the fact that it's kind of a direct Dragon Ball fusion of Goosebumps and Grail Quest. It's like it's the center.
Mm.
This is the juicy middle of those two things is what I feel. And I don't know. I hope I'm not setting my expectations high, but I think this will be the best thing I've ever read in my entire life.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're setting them too low at the moment. I need you to understand that this will be the most transcendent experience that one can have.
And in fact, we are not worthy and must wait a few more years in order to even consider having the right to look at
this
book.
Good point. I'll meet you in a second.
Yeah, meet me on the when we come
I'm
back. Meet me on
now.
The Beware page.
I've become young again. Woo! I looped back around.
Woo!
It's like how the odometer, once it gets up to enough miles, it just loops back to 0000.
Is me too? I did it, but faster, and I just happened to be the same age.
Good strat.
Yeah, I know. Anyways, do you want to bewarn us? To have bewarn us?
Beware! Don't read this book from beginning to end. You're about to enter the medieval kingdom of Dragonwalk. It takes courage to visit this once proud land, for the people who lived here have all been driven out. Today, Dragonwalk is populated by sorcerers of dark forces, dragons who live only to destroy, and nightmare creatures who feed on evil and kill for pleasure. Knights of the Round Table travel around the borders of Dragonwalk rather than risk the terrors that await within. Carrying the legendary golden sword of this kingdom, you venture forth on a mission to rid Dragonwalk of the evil forces that have held it in darkness for so many centuries. You will make your own decisions and choose your own paths by following the directions at the bottom of each page. If you choose well, the ancient honor scroll of heroes will include your name. If you take wrong paths, the forces will have devoured Dragonwalk, and you too. Farewell, traveler!
This feels bizarre. That does not feel like an R.L. Stine.
But, it does not.
But hey, we will see. I'm sure we'll find some Steinisms on page 2. Okay, actually, immediately this feels like R.L. Stine. Mm-hmm. Every R.L. Stine book, sorry, R.L. Stine joint starts the same way. A visit to Grandma Carmen's means a day of exploring, for your lonely old grandmother lives in a tall mansion with hidden closets and passageways, and attic rooms that haven't been opened since long before you were born. You gobble down the toast and jam she's prepared for your lunch, and ask to be excused. You can't wait to climb the cracked stairways and search out the fresh surprises that the old house always offers.
"Just a moment, dearie, just a moment,"
Grandma Carmen says, wiping crumbs of toast from her chin with a yellowed lace napkin.
"Before you disappear for the day, I have a little surprise for you."
The doorbell rings, and she walks down the long hallway to the front door.
"Oh, there's the surprise now,"
she says. She opens the door, and a little girl walks in. It's Stacy, who lives down the street.
What's the surprise?"
you ask, impatient to begin your exploring.
"Stacy. Stacy is a surprise,"
says Grandma Carmen.
"I promised her mother you'd look after her this afternoon. You don't mind, do you?"
Go on to page 3. Surprise, a job. Don't mind.
That's how easy it was back in those days to get a job. You just turn to page 2 and they give you one by the end of it?
Here's a child. Look after. Go. Don't mind a 7-year-old girl underfoot while you have dark caverns to explore, mysterious passageways, and endless treasure-filled tunnels to travel. Grandma Carmen looks at you sternly.
"Of course I don't mind,"
you say quietly. You climb the creaking attic stairs slowly with Stacy right behind you. The two of you creep through the dark rooms filled with wisps of cobwebs and dust as thick as snow. A curving passageway leads to another one, and at the end of this silent tunnel, a circular room unfolds. A room you have never seen before.
"Now, don't touch anything unless I say it's okay,"
you tell Stacy. But you're already too late. Stacy's picked up a large blue vase with strange writing around the base.
"Isn't this pretty?"
she asks, holding the vase up. As she does so, the bookcase on the far wall begins to slide open.
"Stacy! What have you done?"
you cry, startled by the moving wall.
"A passage behind the bookcase. A secret tunnel! Come on, let's see where it leads!"
"No!"
Stacy says, backing towards the doorway.
"Let's get out of here. I'm scared."
If you persuade Stacy to explore the secret passage with you, turn to page 4. If you don't want to argue and would rather try another room, turn to page 6. Okay.
I mean, I feel like an appropriate babysitter would turn to page 6. Are we appropriate babysitters?
Fine. It's probably just a different adventure, so.
Yeah, exactly.
We'll see.
"Okay, Stacy. It's okay,"
you say soothingly.
"We don't have to explore the passage. We don't have to have fun at all today. It's fine with me."
"It's too dark in there,"
she says. She's backed up nearly to the door.
"Okay, we'll go to another room,"
you say, following her.
"I know where there are some great old clothes we can try on. We can..."
But before you finish your sentence, you hear loud noises coming from the secret passageway. Footsteps, then a scream of pain. You stare in amazement as a knight in full armor, carrying a golden-bladed sword above his head, staggers out of the dark passageway and falls onto the floor at your feet.
"Help!"
The knight cries weakly. He attempts to pull himself up, but falls back down again.
"I am in need of help."
"Let's get out of here!"
Stacy manages to cry, her face white with fright.
"Please, let's go! Now!"
"He's in trouble,"
you say.
"We've got to help him. We can't just leave him here in the attic."
If you choose to follow Stacy out of the room as fast as you can, turn to page 10. If you choose to stay and help this mysterious intruder in the attic, turn to page 12.
"As far as I'm concerned, we're now babysitting another. This is just an extension of our role."
Yeah, just we babysit everything that comes in our path. I'm on to page 12, yes. I agree.
"Who are you? Where do you come from?"
you cry, struggling to help the knight.
"I come from a kingdom known as Dragonwalk,"
he says in a voice that grows fainter with every word.
"My kingdom has been the domain of evil for many years. I stood up to that evil, for I came to be the possessor of the Golden Sword. But now, I am mortally wounded. I must pass on the Golden Sword, and with it, the hopes of the few good people remaining in Dragonwalk. And I have no choice but to pass it on to you."
He shoves the golden-bladed sword at you. It's heavier than you expect, and you drop it with a thud.
"Hold the sword tightly,"
the knight says. the color fading from his already pale face.
And may it bring you better fortune than it did me. The sorcerer Ravenhurst will follow me here. You must not let him get through the passageway. Not let his evil into your world. Go! Go! You must travel through the black tunnel to free the Dragonwalk of its enemies.
But I can't.
You cry, struggling to lift up the heavy sword and return it to him.
I can't go off to some mighty evil kingdom and fight sorcerers. I'm supposed to stay here and take care of Stacy, so I really... It's no use.
Stacy says quietly, fighting to hold back tears.
He's dead, I think.
Go to page 13. The knight has died. His death spurs you to action.
Come on, into the tunnel.
You scream at Stacy.
He left his hopes with us. We can't disappoint him. But what if we're not back by supper time?
Stacy has died. Her death spurs you into action.
Stacy. All right, I guess it's just me.
Stacy cries as you drag her into the dark passageway.
Grandma Carmen will be worried.
You don't hear her words. Your only thought is to get through the dark, cold passageway and find what awaits you on the other side. You run as fast as you can with Stacy struggling to keep up. You fall and feel wet earth on your knees. You pick yourself up and keep running. Light? Gray light? Is that the sky? You're definitely running on dirt now. The passageway ends and you're standing in a gray evening world of low, barren hills and scraggly shrubs.
Ho there!
A voice calls. You and Stacy, struggling to catch your breath, look up to see three men approaching, dressed in peasant robes.
Maybe they're coming to help us?
Stacy says, almost pleading for it to be true.
Maybe they're Ravenhurst's men.
You say?
We should fight to keep them out of the passageway.
If you choose to wait and listen to them, turn to page 16. If you choose to fight, turn to page 18.
That does seem a bit premeditated. But also,
if they are here seeking the knight that had been mortally wounded...
True. True. I don't have a strong opinion. I can make one.
Do it. Do it then. Do it, nerd.
I don't...
I've been forcing us down one line so far based off of babysitting as a job.
So, I think that they are the new thing we're supposed to babysit, so we go to page 16.
Makes sense.
As the three men come nearer, you see that only one of them is armed, and he does not have his sword drawn. You hold out the sword tightly. The golden sword tightly in front of you, and you do not move to use it.
The golden sword!
One of the men cries.
How'd you come to possess it?
A dying knight gave it to me?
You say. You see that the three men are in awe of the sword.
Ah, then you must have come to save Dragonwalk and its foes. From its foes, rather.
One of the men says.
You don't seem to be a powerful knight or a clever sorcerer. What are your powers?
Powers?
You ask.
Well, I...
And what of the little girl?
One of them asks. Bad time to take a drink.
How will her powers aid you in the upcoming battles?
Battles?
Your voice cracks at the word.
Well, I was just taking care of her for the afternoon, and I couldn't leave her behind, so...
A rustling in the trees causes the men to huddle closer together. The wind grows cold, and the gray sky turns charcoal.
Hush! We've no time for conversations here.
One of the men says in a whisper.
Ravenhurst is near. His magic takes on all forms, all of them evil. We've got to prepare quickly. We've come to help you.
He says, go on to page 17.
Where do we go? What do we do?
You ask, suddenly realizing that you'll be involved in a serious battle.
I want to go home.
Stacy says.
Take me home right now.
You look around. There's no house, no passageway, no trace of the neighborhood. You left only low, grassy hills leading to a dark forest of bent and twisted trees.
Ravenhurst will find you soon enough.
One of the men says with a frown, ignoring Stacy's repeated demands to go home.
It isn't safe for all of us to travel together. You must choose one of us to help you in your battle against Ravenhurst's evil.
The three men introduce themselves. There is Elkar, a knight warrior, Chalador, an apprentice sorcerer, and Bendo, the wealthiest man in Dragonwalk. Bendo greets you by holding up a bag filled with coins.
I found that evil can always be fended off with gold.
he says. Elkar insists that a powerful sword is a bigger help than any gold, and Chalador boasts that magic spells are more powerful than might or wealth. You must choose which of these men to bring with you on your aid to battle against Ravenhurst. Choose only one of them, and the other two will disappear into the forest. Then turn to page 20.
Oh, so we have to choose
Interesting.
First.
Interesting.
I'll tell you who I don't want.
Money.
I don't want Bendo. No, yeah. Thank you. Wealthiest man? No. That comes with its own giant amount of evil.
Exactly. We would just have two enemies around us.
Mm-hmm.
We would have plenty of food when we eat him. I feel...
Do you want to eliminate one of the others?
I feel like I would like the magic man.
Sounds good to me.
Seems to the like we have a big sword.
Also, Chalador is a hell of a name.
Chalador. It's so good. Then turn to page 20.
Ravenhurst is often, it's over 300 years old.
Your new traveling companion tells you.
In that time, many have fought for the Golden Sword. Many have fought to rid Dragonwalk of its evil, and all of them, well, they've all failed.
Great. That cheers me up a lot.
You say?
First, you must know the power of the Golden Sword. The sword, you see, gives the power to its owner to use it, even if you've never heard a sword before.
I haven't!
You interrupt?
The Golden Sword gives you the power of an expert swordsman. That may help you, and it may not.
You get your chance to use the Golden Sword sooner than you'd imagined. Suddenly, you find yourself tangled in the low, wiry branches of a tree. You attempt to pull away, then realize the tree branches are pulling you in. Dry leaves choke you, and you feel yourself being drawn tighter and tighter.
Use the sword! Use that sword!
Your companion cries. You hack at the branches with the golden sword. Can you free yourself? Pick a number. Any number. If you picked an even number, turn to page 24. If you picked an odd number, turn to page 26. 69.
Yep, that's odd.
Don't be so rude.
Head to 26. I had to figure out whether it was even or odd. I had to divide it by two and see if there was a remainder. It was real difficult.
Yeah. You grasp the golden sword tightly in your hand, your heart pounding as the tree limbs tighten themselves around you.
I can't breathe.
You cry. You swing the sword wildly, slashing out at your captor. Slash again and again. The golden sword cuts through the grasping limb, tears the bark off another. You begin to swing more frantically, faster and faster, cutting and slashing. The limbs begin to fall to the ground. You're winning. The tree seems to be loosening its hold. The golden sword is slashing your way to freedom, and then suddenly the massive trunk begins to part. The tree draws open like a giant cave, and you feel yourself being sucked inside. Now you're in the darkness. You're inside the tree, trapped in a black hollow cave, still waving the golden sword, although there's no longer limbs to attack. Are you a permanent prisoner of the silent foe? Or can you defeat the tree from the inside? Raise the golden sword aloft. I'm going to slot that in there, because let's be honest, it should have been there. Keep hacking at the trunk, and then turn to page 46. You can't raise a sword and have it not be aloft. It's just...
No, it's not
allowed. It doesn't go up unless it's aloft.
It's one of the very few circumstances where you get to legitimately use the word aloft. You mm-hmm. need to employ it there. Otherwise, aloft may not be a word.
Exactly. It's the kind of thing. It's like copyright. If you don't use it enough, it eventually is just like, well, you know.
Yeah.
Now you can just start. Now anything could be aloft. You know? Like, how are you feeling today? Aloft. Is that a world you want to live in? Well, kind of.
What is it Americans call an attic? A loft.
Yeah, that one. Yeah. It's a loft. It is now. Fear drives.
Do you all not call it a loft? That damn.
Is
it Brits?
I'm not sure. We call it an attic, but I also hear people call it a loft too. It will become a loft worldwide. 100%. If you don't use it properly. Fear drives the golden sword hard into the tree trunk. Fear drives your arm forward again and again. The clang of the sword echoes in your ears as you batter the walls that hold you prisoner. Daylight, you've broken through. You gasp at the fresh air, the sweet fragrances of the forest invading the tree trunk. The tree seems to give up. It's a tree. You push your way out of the trunk. The tree withers and dies at your feet. The ground is drenched in sticky green sap. Go on to page 47. The tree
I
has
made it!
Died.
I'm free!
I'm so glad. Sticky green sap, it needed to die.
Yeah. You call out, holding the golden sword high above your head, but there's no one to hear your cheers.
Stacy? Stacy?
You cry. You look desperately for her and your new companion. Gone. Only distant birds answer your worried calls. Stacy and your companion must have been kidnapped while you battled inside the tree. You must go after them. You must find them. But how shall you go? Should you hurry through the tangled forest, hoping to avoid such traps as the grasping tree? Or keep following the path that you'd begun? A wide river cuts through the forest and runs in the same direction as the path you were taking. Should you avoid the perils of the forest and brave the unknown dangers of the river? Traveling on the water would certainly be faster, but where would it lead you? It's your decision. If you continue through the forest in search of Stacy and your new companion, turn to 54. If you wish to take your chances on the fast-flowing river, then 51.
Kind of seems like the fast-flowing river is dangerous? An obvious... like. It's either the best idea or it's the worst idea.
Yeah.
I figure out which.
Let's burn fast, burn bright. I mean, we'll die quickly, right? One would think. If it's bad, all right. 51. You walk down to the edge of the dark gray waters. You begin to pace by the water, trying to figure out how to make a boat that will carry you downstream.
I don't know where I'm going. I've got to get there as fast as I can.
You tell yourself. Of course, it doesn't make any sense, but what does in this land of evil?
Footprints!
You cry. Footprints make sense. Sure enough, on the wet bank there are footprints of at least 4 or 5 people, and recent footprints at that.
I made the right decision.
You tell yourself. Man, I wish that I, in the past month, would just feel confident enough to whisper that to myself. I made the right decision. to be that sure. You tell yourself. Suddenly your thoughts are interrupted by a rude croaking sound. Now that's more like it. down by your ankles.
Help me, sir.
A voice croaks. You look down to discover a large brown frog hopping gently at your feet. Fearing another trap, you raise the golden sword aloft, ready to strike.
I came to help you. Please, sir, I can help.
The frog croaks, hopping up and down more vigorously.
I can help you find your friends. Ravenhurst has cast a spell on me. Touch my head and you will break the spell. Free me, sir, and I will help you.
Is this a trick? Does the frog know where the kidnappers took your companions? If you think the frog is telling the truth, touch his head and turn to page 58. If you think it's another one of Ravenhurst's tricks, try and catch the frog and turn to page 60.
It is kind of bold of us to say another one of Ravenhurst's tricks when we haven't really experienced any of them except for, I guess, the tree was kind of mad.
Maybe the tree is, well, yeah.
I think that because of that, we have to be taught that the land is evil. This guy is going to be evil.
I think so too, because I also know that there's nary a thing that R.L. Stine likes more than turning the main character into an animal.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we're going to touch the frog on the head and become the frog. And the frog, you know, whatever. So I'm down...
The one sad thing is we need to forsake our duty as a babysitter.
Oh, you bring up taking a good care of point. Everyone. That's an interesting proposition. I mean, trust until it's broken. We could... Do we really want to forsake the babysitter's oath?
You're right.
Babysit everything all the time. That's the
regardless
oath.
Regardless of whether or not it wants it.
Babysit with no mercy. Okay. I do not regret this. You reach down and timidly tap the frog on top of its head. The frog face begins to grow larger, and the frog body grows tall and takes a human shape. Standing before you is a knight in green armor with the face of a frog.
Prepare to die, fool.
He croaks, brandishing a long green sword aloft.
Did you not know that all the frog forests are soldiers of Ravenhurst?
Go on to page 59. You have no time to answer, for the frog knight attacks quickly and with great skill. His green sword clangs against your golden sword as he presses you towards the water. It is all you can do to fend off his powerful thrusts, and you find yourself backing up. Your feet are in the water. And he still comes at you.
Hold on! We're coming to help you!
A voice calls from down the riverbank as you struggle to keep from backing up any further. It's Stacy and your new companion.
I thought you were kidnapped!
You cry, ducking under a vicious swipe at the green sword.
We were looking for you.
Your companion cries.
Hollow trees often have tunnels that lead to exits in the forest. We were searching for you.
Clash, clash. You swing the sword and take a step forward. You're back on dry land now.
I'm coming to help.
Your companion cries. You're starting to win. Do you want the help, or would you prefer that your companion stay and protect Stacy? If you'd like your companion to help you defeat the Frog Knight, turn to pages 64 and 65?
Yeah, I've never seen that.
What? If you think you can handle it on your own, 66. That is weird.
I think we can probably handle this on our own, frankly. We have the power of the golden sword, and we are also an expert swordman while wielding it.
We are starting to win, it says as well. The only pull I have towards 64 and 65 would be the fact that what does that mean?
Mm-hmm.
But
let's go to it to see the unique formatting of something that wants us to turn to two pages at once.
Yes. For what it's worth, I'm pretty confident it's an L, but we'll see. Can your traveling companion help you defeat the Frog Knight? Well, it depends on whom you've chosen as a companion. If Ben Do, the wealthy man, is your companion, read this section. Ooh. Else? If Chalador, the apprentice sorcerer, is your companion, read this section. The magic has run out for you. The Frog Knight is already under Ravenhearst's spell. No spell of Chalador's is powerful enough to interrupt Ravenhearst's spell. In a few seconds, the Frog Knight has touched you, Stacy, and Chalador with his green sword. The three of you are now little green creatures who hop and croak. What is that? That's right, you're frogs.
You catch on pretty quickly for a member of a lower species.
Rude. Too bad, but look on the bright side. There's lots of big, juicy flies around the riverbank, and all of that fighting has given you a big appetite. The end.
A lot of when R.L. Stein turns a protagonist, or other characters necessarily, but it often comes through the lens of the protagonist, turns them into an animal, very quickly afterwards is, oh, you find the animal food delectable now. Like, that, yeah. That is a very quick second beat on all of them.
Very, very, very often. Just a quick note that it looks like both of the other companions would have found success.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least move to another page. But hey, let's go to 66. We can do it all by ourselves.
Stay back! Stay back!
You cry, driving the golden sword forward, pressing your attack. The Frog Knight continues to retreat, stepping back almost to the edge of the trees.
I called you fool once.
He cries, ducking under the arc of your sword.
And I call you a fool again?
Flashback to 10 seconds ago. With a hideous croak, he bounds up into the air. Your sword swings under him, and as he lands, he swings his green sword down upon you, knocking away the large piece of bark you had been using as a shield. Again, the frog takes a giant leap. This time, as he descends, he slams the handle of his sword into your shoulder. The pain rushes through your body. Your hand loosens its grip on the golden sword. Again, the Frog Knight leaps high into the air.
Help!
You cry.
Please, I need help after all!
The frog drives the sword handle down into your other shoulder. You cry out in pain as he prepares to leap again. Is there still time for your companion to help you? Quick, turn back to page 64 and watch out because he's making another leap.
Oh my god, so Chalador is... We lose having Chalador.
At least on the river path.
Yes, exactly. Maybe we should walk through the forest then, because that just takes us back to Chalador and becoming frogs.
Yeah, so 60. Or wait, we could not babysit the frog like we intended.
Ah.
Let's try yes, that. Yes. That's less far back. We do not trust the frog. Because for what it's worth, we didn't.
On which page do we not 60. Trust this frog?
On all of them, baby.
60. From here on out.
You reach for the frog and catch it with your right hand, but suddenly the frog vanishes completely from your grasp and the frog disappears. Huh? Stacy and your companion reappear beside you.
You're both okay!
You cry in amazement.
We were here all along,
Stacy says.
That frog cast some kind of invisible spell on us?
That were no frog. It were a creation of Ravenhearst.
Your companion says quietly.
You're wise to ignore its pleas. But now Ravenhearst will be angrier than ever. We've got to flee this place.
Is that a boat down there by the riverbank?
You ask, pointing to the dark object, partly hidden by the reeds.
Let's go see.
Stacy cries. Is it a boat? Turn to page 68. Worth noting, if we had Rich Banker Man, this is the page we would have gone to.
Ah, I see. He would have been able to buy a boat.
So we are theoretically beyond that turmoil. Surely enough, it's some kind of strange-looking boat. Actually, it looks more like a rubber raft than a boat. And perhaps the oddest thing about it is that the serpent's face is painted on the front of it.
Let's get in and go downriver.
You say?
I just want to get away from here.
Your companions reluctantly agree. You climb in and lift Stacy in after you. Your companion mans the oars, and you begin to float downstream with the river current. Suddenly, however, the boat changes direction, no matter how hard your companion rows. The boat moves in the opposite direction.
The boat has a mind of its own!
You cry. A mind of its own and a face. The painted face on the front pushes forward and begins to take shape. The eyes move, the mouth opens. You're not aboard a boat, you're aboard a living creature.
Jump! Jump into the water, quickly!
Your companion yells.
Who knows where this creature's taking us?
Do you stay aboard and find out, or do you jump out and try and swim for shore? If you choose to stay, 74. If you jump, 85.
Babysit the boat.
Babysit the boat. All right, 74.
Got a memento? Gotta borrow the book again?
Okay.
I have no control of this boat at all!
Your companion cries, tossing down the oars in horror and disgust.
We're at the mercy of this thing, whatever it is.
This thing continues to take shape as it carries you down the river. The serpentine head is now at the end of a long gray neck. Arms and legs seem to spout from the sides of the boat.
A dragon!
Stacy cries.
We're riding a dragon!
But not for long. Suddenly, the dragon walks onto the shore with you on its back, dips its head low with a sudden jolt, and the three of you crash onto the ground. The dragon stands above you menacingly, its teeth preparing for a tasty meal, its tongue darting eagerly at its black lips. The dragon moves forward, then bends down to finish you off.
No! No!
You cry.
It can't end this way!
And you're right. Turn to page 82.
It ends this way. The end.
You have died. This spurs Stacy to action. The golden sword slipped out of your hand and bounced a few yards away when the dragon threw you off its back. Before you can retrieve it, the dragon bends its head low to take you into its mouth. You fall back onto the ground and kick it as hard as you can. The beast rears back in surprise, and in that instant, you grab the golden sword. The giant head swoops down angrily now, a roar from its throat shaking the forest trees. You time the thrust of the golden blade perfectly, catching the dragon just below the chin, slashing and cutting, using every ounce of strength you have. Dark purple blood pours out from the wound that you've cut, pouring over you and onto the ground, thick and hot. The roar of a dragon that becomes a cry.
You dare to attack Ravenhurst himself in his own land!
The dragon yells through its anger and pain. You are battling Ravenhurst himself. The dragon begins to change shape. It becomes a falcon, its talons trying to tear off your head, but the golden sword stands firm against every attack. The falcon becomes a leopard, the leopard a devil bat. But each incarnation seems weaker than the last as the dark blood continues to stain the forest ground. Turn to page 83. The final form the figure takes is human. As the great sorcerer Ravenhurst, the Ravenhurst whose evil has enslaved Dragonwalk for so many years, lies dead at your feet. Slain by your courage and by the power of the golden sword.
Well, we owe you a debt we can never repay.
Your companion says gratefully, still not believing that Ravenhurst has met with a defeat.
Now can we go home?
Stacy asks. Surprisingly enough, the answer to that question is yes. For standing right in front of you is a very familiar passageway. The passageway is wide open and very inviting. You and Stacy run into it without looking back, and in seconds, you're back in Grandma Carmen's house. Back in that familiar attic room. Back in the safety of the present, where there's no dragons, no witches, no evil sorcerers. You know, the only thing stopping those from being real was time. Until you dare to open up this book again. The end! Dang! Quite clean. Quite clean to the end there. All things considered.
Yeah, no kidding.
But it's interesting.
Surprised how quickly that wrapped up, frankly.
Yeah, well, it's like it's longer. It was a longer route than the other Twista plot books, but a shorter route than another. It's like it's in that interesting kind of middle ground space. It makes me want to kind of check out a slightly different path. But like, I don't know where to go back to in particular.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the weird thing.
You know what? We could go back to the tree fight and pick an even number instead, like 420.
Oh, that is illogical. Yep. So let's see. Is that page?
What page 24 is that takes us to?
What the heck? You fight valiantly against the grasping branches of the evil tree. But the more branches you hack away, the faster the new ones grow to take their place. You realize you can't defeat the tree on your own. Its grasp tightening, you struggle to breathe.
Help me, please. I need help.
You cry. Don't give up hope. If you've chosen the right companion to accompany you, you might still have a chance. Did you bring Bendo, the wealthy man, with you? If so, it's time to give up hope. The money is no use against a tree. Ravenhurst has claimed another victim. Close the book, take a rest, and then try your luck in Dragonwalk again. May God have mercy on your soul. Or did you bring Elkar, the Night Warrior? If so, there's a 50% chance. If you brought along Chalador, there's a 33% chance. Pick a number 1 through 9. Dang. Do we wanna go Chalador route?
That's a good point well made.
Cause
maybe we bring someone else to this point, because it wouldn't have infected any decisions between then and now.
Yeah. Let's go with Elkar. Especially now that I know that we can't buy our way out of a tree.
Yeah, let's do it.
So we'll give it a look for flavor. I don't have a coin to flick, but I do have... Oh, God.
I got a lens cap for a camera.
That sounds great. I have a bunch of really weird dice, and I was like, oh, it's great. I'll just divide it in half. But they're weird because I have a D3, a D5, a D7. Like I bought a bunch of weird dice, and I'm looking at them like, oh, no, I can't divide it in half. So flip that lens
cap.
Well,
now, I will say, when a dice doesn't fit necessarily, you can just roll it and go, well, if it's a 3, we'll re-roll.
That's true.
Elkar flipped heads, so we'll be turning to page 30.
The sword of Elkar has never failed.
Elkar screams, drawing his blade. His sword clangs against the tightening branches of the foul tree. Slash and tear, slash and tear. The branches fall. The ground becomes sticky with blood red sap. Oh, different sap this time. Slash and tear, slash and tear. The sword of Elkar works its power. In a few minutes, you're freed. You fall to the ground, half crawling, half rolling out of the grasp of the tree, and you turn to Elkar and say,
thank you.
It isn't really enough, but you don't know what else to say.
Perhaps later I will be thanking you,
he says, wiping the sap off his sword with dry leaves.
Wow, that was exciting,
Stacy cries.
I'm starting to like it here.
Was that Ravenhurst?
You ask, taking a few practice swings with the golden sword.
We have many miles to travel and many foes to conquer before we meet Ravenhurst himself,
Elkar says grimly. Do we?
Theoretically, there's at least one frog soldier between us. Now, before we journey on, we must rest. It wouldn't be wise to travel in the forest whilst tired.
Go on to page 31. The three of you take a short nap in the shelter of trees. Your close call has exhausted you, and you fall asleep immediately and sleep soundly. While you sleep, a small figure creeps out of the bush. It's an elf thief, one of hundreds who prowl the forest stealing to live. The elf thief, dressed in forest green to blend into the surroundings, has his eye on Elkar's sword. What a price he could get for it. Silently, the elf thief darts across the forest floor. Elkar's gleaming sword is only a few yards from his grasp. If the elf thief grabs the weapon and escapes with it, Elkar will surely be doomed. No one survives for long in this dark forest without a weapon. Will the elf thief be successful? Well, there's a 40% chance that he will steal Elkar's sword. Pick a number from 1 through 10. If you picked a 3 or 10, go to page 43. If you picked a 1, 4, 5, or 8, 38, 2, 6, 7, or 9, go to page 52. There's a 40% chance that he'll steal it?
Yep. So there's a 40% chance he'll steal it. So out of 10 results, 4 of them trigger a theft. However, If we pick 3 or 10, turn to page 43. There's only a 20% chance we picked a 3 or a 10.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say, is if there's a 40% chance, then theoretically...
it has to be one of the other ones.
Which means...
can't be on page 43. Let's go there.
Yeah. Unless... I'm going to be mad if this is wrong. Silently, the elf thief creeps up to where the three of you sleep. He wraps his little hands around the hilt of Ilkar's sword and pulls the sword from the scabbard, and then suddenly he stops.
The golden sword of Dragonwalk,
he tells himself, his gray eyes growing wide. Will he put down Ilkar's sword and take yours instead? You sleep soundly, unaware that the small creature is staring at you and your sword with popping eyes. After a few seconds, he turns and runs. He doesn't look back. He disappears into the forest. Did your sword frighten him away? Did the power of the legendary weapon cause him to forget his thievery? Or did he run to tell someone else, someone more powerful, about you and the golden sword? You continue to sleep under the dark trees, unaware of these or any other questions. Wake up now. You don't want to sleep for too long in this evil place. Wake up and turn to page 44.
Hey, where'd Stacy go?
You cry, looking around and not seeing her.
Stacy, don't wander off.
You hear the call, from about 50 yards away.
Look at the big bird. Wow.
Big Bird, you and your companion race towards Stacy's voice. You see her standing in a small clearing.
Stacy, what are you talking about?
You yell angrily. You can't possibly be seeing a big bird in a fantasy realm. That's where we draw the line. What? Next you're gonna tell me you see a little green man in a trash can, huh? Huh?
Gonna tell me you see a tiny little friendly red man? No?
It tickles. Oh, God, what was that? It's an elf thief.
Get away!
Tickle me! It's an elf thief. You cleft the elf thief in twain. Okay. You see you're standing in a small clearing. Wait, you said, sorry.
Stacy, what are you talking about?
You yell angrily. Oops. You are exhausted and don't want to stay. Sorry. You see you're standing in a small clearing. Okay. All right. Well, 2 is all I can do. You yell angrily. You're exhausted and don't want Stacy to get you into any new adventures, if it can be helped.
I've never seen a crow that big,
Stacy says, pointing to a giant black bird about the size of a station wagon. It's a station wagon.
That's not a crow. It's a station wagon.
Yeah.
That's a carrier buzzard.
Your companion screams.
We've got to get away before it.
He doesn't get to finish his sentence. There's no time to get away, but before you realize what's happening, the giant blackbird has swooped up under you, grabbed you into a giant talon, and hoisted you onto its hot, feathery back.
Run, Stacy, run!
You yell, but she cannot escape either. In a few moments, she's plucked off her feet and dropped beside you on the bird's back. Go on to page 45. Your traveling companion struggles, but he, too, is taken captive and forced aboard the fast-moving board. The board flaps its black wings and prepares to fly. You hold onto its neck, fear keeping you from attempting to escape, and with great effort, the bird lunges upward into the sky. You can feel the wind rushing past you as you struggle to keep your balance on the flying bird.
We've been kidnapped. I don't know by whom.
The bird? Dude? What? Your companion says...
but our weight is keeping this boyd from climbing higher in the sky. The forest ground is soft beneath us. I think we could jump off safely from this altitude.
Jump? Jump off a boyd that's high in the sky? The idea doesn't exactly appeal to you. But you realize that it may be safer to jump off and try and escape than face what awaits when the boyd reaches its destination. The three of you have a 50% chance of surviving the jump off of a carrier buzzard. Good luck. Pick a number from 1 to 100. If you picked an even number, turn to page 48. If you pick an odd number, turn to page 59. So 69 is an odd number.
That'll do it. 57.
So 48 to 57. You know, you really should look before you leap. That boyd was flying a lot higher than you thought it was. Yuck, you really made a mess of things. Mainly yourself. It's really very inconsiderate of you to mess up this book like that. Let's hope you pull yourself together for your other adventures in Dragonwalk. The end.
Well, that's a shame. That's the canon ending. It's what other numbers are there?
Yeah, it's weird that they would do that for the canon ending. Yeah, 420 is not between 1 and 100.
But it is even.
It's true. I guess I'll go with 100.
Head to 48. Let's take 42.
Okay. That is another good one. The wind rushes past her face. The Boyd sweeps low, then up again, its wings straining under the weight of its heavy cargo. How will you ever jump off? The Boyd's feathers are hot and sticky. You feel as if you've been glued onto its back.
Jump! You must jump!
Your companion screams. You grab Stacy and hold her tightly. You close your eyes and lean to the side. You lean farther and farther until you're done. You've fallen off. You're falling. You and Stacy are both screaming. To your right, you can see your companion falling through the sky a little bit above you. Will you land safely on the ground? No. The crafty carrier buzzard is not about to let you escape. The Boyd efficiently flies underneath you, catches you on its back, then swoops to retrieve your companion. You are right back where you started. The Boyd turns in the sky to whatever evil awaits you. And too soon, the Boyd brings you to its destination, a small village of mud huts crowded and filthy with ragged goats and scrawny pale chickens walking or standing in the dirt. Between the huts, several strange-looking people appear as you land. Turn to page 49. They are dressed in blue capes, their faces and hands are painted blue. They walk bent over, leaning forward on jagged walking sticks, their eyes wild and their mouths arched in toothy grins.
Witches!
Your companion screams.
What do you want with us?
The witches use their walking sticks to pin you to the ground.
Our business is with Ravenhurst, not with you!
Your companion screams.
Our business is with Ravenhurst, too!
Says one of the blue-faced witches in a shrill, high-pitched voice.
What a ransom he will pay for you! How grateful he will be to us when we hand him over! Wend him over, you in neat bundles, ready to be tortured and killed!
We've got to get out of here!
You tell your companion.
I still have the golden sword. Can we escape from these people?
The answer to that question is... It all depends on whom you've chosen as a companion. The right companion can get you out of this mess. The wrong companion, well, let's not think about it. I gotta tell you, 1,000%, the one who gets you out of this mess. They mentioned a ransom.
Mm-hmm.
This is the point where money would just solve it.
Can only imagine so. But also, I don't know, maybe...
Maybe kill?
Maybe we can find our way out of here with Elka. I imagine the sorcerer would be no help in this area.
Yeah. Who knows? Let's go for 56. Elkar is a mighty warrior, but he really should be sent back to warrior school for thinking he could defeat an entire coven of witches with his swordsmanship and yours. It seems as if you picked the wrong companion for this adventure. He makes a nice-looking toad, though. Those witches really know their toad spells, don't they? And you and Stacy look terrific with those blue faces. They match your new capes so nicely. Well, at least you got a new wardrobe and a whole new look out of this adventure. Just the same, it's probably best that this particular chapter comes to the end.
Rubber. Should we check what either Bendu or Chalador would have done in this location?
I guess so, because otherwise...
One gives us a positive ending.
Yeah, because otherwise we're kind of, like, locked out here, aren't we? Yeah, sort of.
Seems it.
So
we change our party in the menu. Yeah. We've got a Chalador here.
Yeah, let's check. Yeah, we'll check out the Chalador. Because I'd... say it's next least likely to work, but I think it could work. Who knows? 62.
I'll get us out of this with a special, powerful escape spell that I've been practicing.
Chalador says.
Witches aren't the only ones what know how to curse spells, you know.
Hurry!
You and Stacy both cry. Chalador mumbles some strange phrases over and over, and in a few seconds, poof, his spell of escape actually works. Unfortunately, it only worked for Chalador and Stacy. You are still there, pinned to the ground, surrounded by blue-faced witches.
How could he do this to me?
You ask the blue man group. You grab the golden sword, ready to begin what may be your last battle, but to your surprise, the witches leap back in terror.
Ah, the golden sword!
One of them cries.
Don't gaze at it, or we all perish!
They turn and run, leaving you alone in the village.
Huh. Now I've just got to find Stacy and Chalador.
You tell yourself, still amazed at how easy this escape was. You turn and head in the opposite direction of the terrified witches, following a narrow path deep into a thick forest. You don't know where you are and where you're going, but you look for any clue that'll help you find them. The path disappears, then reappears at a wide river. A canoe rests on the bank. Should you try your chances on the river? Turn to page 54. So that does bring us back... To
it
the
doesn't
path
actually.
We, brings us back to, okay, so 47 branches off to 54 and 51. We went to 51. It was another choice back then.
Oh, right. So this brings us back to an alternate path that we haven't taken.
Correct.
Right. I thought, because I also had the inclination when reading that, that, oh, wait, this just takes us back to the canoe on the side of the river. No, this is a new page, 54.
I'm not taking my chances on the water.
You tell yourself?
Somehow I just feel safer on dry land.
You head back to the thick forest footprints. Could those be Stacy's and your new companions? They follow a narrow dirt path through the bent and tangled bushes. You follow the path, picking up speed, running over the prints, running to find your lost friends, and a narrow beam of sunlight cuts through the trees overhead, forming what appears to be a spotlight on the grassy ground. And standing before you, in that spotlight, is a red object. A bright, scarlet object that seems to be moving.
What can that be?
You ask yourself, slowing your pace a little. As you approach, you see that it's just some kind of lizard, a scarlet lizard, preening in the sun. You come nearer, you feel yourself drawn to it, and you cannot resist it. It arches its neck and seems to grin up at the sun. You reach your arm forward, something wants you to touch it. You must touch this scarlet lizard. Your hand makes contact, and you touch it.
Ow!
The red heat of the body burns your hand. The small lizard begins to grow. You realize that you made a serious mistake. How serious? Turn to page 61. Real serious.
The end.
The scarlet lizard grows and grows. It's taller than you now, and it still grows. Why don't you run from it? Why are you frozen there, staring at it, watching it grow redder as it grows bigger and hotter? Why can't you run? Perhaps if you close your eyes, its scarlet spell will be broken. Its hold on you loosened, perhaps. Do you choose to run, or do you feel that you must face this giant red beast creature? If you choose to run, close your eyes tightly and sneak a peek at page 67. If you feel you must stay, go to page 671.
How are we going to babysit it if we don't stay?
So true. Is this... My take on this is that this is probably some, like, R.L. Stein version of a basilisk.
Mm-hmm.
But I am happy to stay. 71. Babysat. The babysitter's code. I will touch the red lizard.
That's it. That's the only babysitter's code. We don't actually have to babysit things. We just have to touch red lizards when we find them. So now it's actually relevant.
The lizard is at least 8 feet tall and still growing. And as it grows, its fiery color glows brighter and brighter until you feel as if you're staring at the sun. My favorite pastime. The golden sword trembles in your hand as you struggle to lift it. You must defeat this devil lizard before it attains its full height. It takes every ounce of your strength to raise the golden sword aloft, but you do it and press it forward. The scarlet lizard's black eyes grow wide as your blade stabs at its chest. The heat is almost unbearable, but you stab and you stab again. The lizard's mouth opens wide into a snarl, its black tongue lashing out at you. It's still growing, not ready for combat. You gain a real advantage by striking early, but even this advantage is outweighed by the fact that this is a large, hot, monstrous lizard. You thrust the golden sword forward again and again, battling valiantly as the lizard continues to grow. You are not aware of the fact that you only have a 50% chance of victory in this battle. Yes, I do. Win or lose. It's all a matter of luck. If today's date is even numbered, 73. If it's odd numbered, 77. Oh, the good old days of old. We do get a cheat on this one.
I mean, exactly, as we have both nice an one. Even an odd-numbered date betwixt the two of us.
True, it's true.
Do we want to 73 is the nearest. Let's head to that
first. Let's head to the top one first. The lizard has grown so hot you feel as if you might melt. Yet the golden sword plunges forward again and again. It seems to be fighting on its own now. You struggle to stand up before this monstrous lizard, allowing the sword to control your arm to fight the beast, draining your strength with every thrust. An earth-shattering roar, the lizard is now ready to fight. Its black tongue darts towards you, slapping the ground, cracking like a whip. Giant yellow teeth are bared, and the lizard snorts as it lowers its head and opens its mouth to swallow you. And as it lowers its head, the golden sword takes a valiant swipe. Your arm swings in a wide arc, the blade cutting deep and true. The red lizard's head flies into the air. It hits a tree and drops to the ground with a shattering crash. You've killed it. Its scarlet fades to gray. Its huge body stands upright, even though its head is no longer attached. And suddenly, there's movement. You're sitting on the ground trying to catch your breath, and the headless lizard body begins to move. Must you fight it again? What is happening? Turn to page 80. No, silly. That's the tail. The tail's the part, you silly goose. Exhausted, you raise the golden sword aloft and prepare to fight again. You drag yourself to your feet, staring at the headless lizard body, which is moving about.
Oh no, I don't believe it!
You cry as Stacy and your traveling companion climb out of the lizard's body.
Well, it took you long enough to rescue us!
Stacy cries.
It was hot in there. I didn't like being swallowed.
We owe you our thanks,
your companion says.
Oh, honestly, we owe the golden sword all of the thanks.
You say modestly, so pleased to see them again.
Now we must flee deep into the forest,
your companion says.
That red wizard were the pride of Ravenhurst's menagerie. Once he discovers you've killed his pet, he'll come right after us with a vengeance you cannot imagine.
I'm too weary to go on any further,
you say.
I'm going to stay right here and face Ravenhurst once and for all. I'm tired of running. If our mission is to destroy Ravenhurst, to rid Dragonwalk of its evil, I say let's stop running like rabbits and face his challenge.
Yay!
Cries Stacy. She doesn't really understand what you're saying, but you say it so strongly that she feels like she has to cheer. Go to page 81.
You're making a foolish mistake,
your companion says.
This ground is Ravenhurst's. You do not dare fight him on his own property. You'd stand a much better chance on neutral forest ground.
This calls for one of the biggest decisions you'll have to make. You're tired of running. You're tired of always being on the defensive. Do you stay and fight, or do you go further into the forest where Ravenhurst cannot find you so easily? Stay and fight, 84. Listen to your companion's advice. Go deeper on 86.
I think we got to listen to the companion's advice on this one.
All right. We got to babysit him.
Thank you for the good advice,
you say.
Let's get going.
The three of you walk into the dark forest, making your way over thick brambles, hide in hidden crevices and deep banks of mud. More than one obstacle blocks your path. Oh, man. You're attacked by giant tarantulas, and the golden sword must go to work again. Slashing and cutting your path is clear. Trees grab out at you. Stones beneath your feet turn into biting mouths that snap at your ankles. The flutter of bird wings becomes roars as a pack of owls, their talons poised, plunge at you from the tree limbs, screeching and crying as they attack. Once again, the golden sword strikes back at those who would block your path. The ground is soon littered with dying owls. Okay.
This forest has vanquished all of Ravenhurst's foes in the past,
your companion says as you make your way wearily to a large grassy clearing on a hillside.
But we've defeated the forest. We've survived its many threats.
Good! Now we can go home,
Stacy says, tugging at your sleeve, her eyes pleading.
I'm afraid you've got one more challenge,
your companion says.
Or did you forget? You've still got Ravenhurst himself. Having defeated his dark forest, you've got to face the evil sorcerer now.
Go to page 87.
Will he find us here?
You ask.
I mean, you have found him.
Your companion says. He points to a cave high on the hill.
The Cave of Dreams,
he says quietly.
That's where Ravenhurst lives. If you can defeat him, Dragonwalk will forever be freed of his evil.
You stare up at the black cave, a chill running down your back. You can feel the evil in this place. The ground is damp, as if soaked with the blood of Ravenhurst's victims. The air is cold, the sky turns threatening. How will you climb the hill to the Cave of Dreams? How will you find Ravenhurst and defeat him? The answers to these questions and more will be answered next week on... No, the answer to these questions depend entirely upon which traveling companion you selected long ago when you first entered Dragonwalk. Your fate is in his hands. You chose Elkar, 92, Bendo, 88, Chalador, 90. Well,
we've got Chalador with us at the moment.
Theoretically, yeah, both the answer of what we picked initially and what we currently have is Chalador, so Chalador it is.
How do we climb the hill to find Ravenhurst?
You ask.
There's no need,
Chalador says, his voice growing deep.
You've already found him right there.
What do you mean?
You ask, staring at the apprentice sorcerer. Chalador casts off the ragged robe he has worn the entire journey. Underneath, he wears a shiny robe of royal purple.
I am Ravenhurst,
he says, the evil glowing in his eyes.
I've been with you all along. I like to keep my foes in sight. Makes him so much easier to kill.
No, no, we trusted you,
Stacy cries.
I'm sorry it had to end this way,
Ravenhurst says, causing a jewel-handled sword to appear in his hand.
In fact, I were actually beginning just to like you,
He throws his head back and laughs a hideous laugh, his purple robe shimmering and shining as he moves.
I'll try and meet your death quick.
That's an amazing robe you're wearing.
You say, your voice trembling, your hand shaking.
But there's something I should tell you.
Oi, and what's that?
Ravenhurst asks.
You dropped something.
Ravenhurst bends down to see what he has dropped. And as he does, you raise the golden sword aloft and chop off his head. Go to page 91.
You dropped something. It's your head.
That's your shoes tied, untied. Oh, my. Would you go? Oh, jeez.
I do kind of like any extension of the distraction into a kill or a hit bit. One of my favorites, yeah. A sucker punch always works well. But I do like the idea of like, you know,
look over there.
Your shoes are untied, and then just shooting them with a gun. Like,
look over there, bang. Well, you could have just shot me into it. Whatever. Yeah, but it's more embarrassing for you.
This way. Yeah, exactly. This way I get to fool you and kill you.
Yeah. You've done it. You've defeated Ravenhurst and his evil. Very abruptly. Immediately, the sky brightens and the air turns warm. Birds begin to sing a sweet song in the swaying green trees. A broad smile, a smile of relief and happiness, warms your face. Murdered this man. And you see that Stacy is smiling too. Your mission accomplished, you find yourself back in the attic room of Grandma Carmen's house. You both have a lot to laugh about as you... Yeah? Remember when I beheaded the man? Ooh! About as you head down the stairs towards Grandma Carmen's kitchen and away from the world of Dragonwalk forever.
Or until you pick up this book again.
The end. Done. Good end. What feels like probably the more intentional end, too, I will say.
Mm-hmm.
That feels like the canon ending, and it does have it was a 69 to get there, so it holds up.
It does indeed. I did also like the uniqueness of the system of having a traveling companion who was in all the other respects the same as every other traveling companion until you got to a page where it made a specific difference.
Yeah.
So it gave them the ability to, like, densify the book whilst still having multiple different characters who had, like, multiple different trigger conditions in different areas. That was cool. One thing I didn't love, though, percentage chances were here commonly.
Yeah.
Just a coin flip. Get it right or wrong.
Hey, what did I say, though? I said halfway between Goosebumps and Grail Quest, there was sure some coin flip chances in Grail Quest.
That's true, it's true. It does feel like it is taking this from RPGs and from, you know, rolling to hit effectively being simulated through the chances here.
Yeah, but hey, in a book, you know, it doesn't need to be there. The interesting action verb is choose, you know? Yeah, I think that's the thing that some of the books forget is, like, the act of choice is the interesting verb. But I, you know, I liked it. This book delivered.
It did indeed, which in that way, like, it is nice that oftentimes we had the choice beforehand, and then based on who we had, we may have to make a roll, or we already lost, or we already won the fight. So it felt like at least we did have some, if completely blind, control in that situation.
Yeah. And it's easy enough to be like, all right, fine. What's the path with this one? I don't know. Yeah, I think it was interesting. I think it was a successful one. I think it was everything I thought it was going to be, and I enjoyed it for that. Indeed. Fun twist into your shoes untied behead combo is something I will probably remember forever. That is a really good one. But it does
feel like a conclusion for, like, a Treehouse of Horror episode of The Simpsons. It's like, Principal Skinner, you're a cult leader in this episode, but you forgot to tie your shoes. Let me inspect. Shing!
Yep. It.
And then the head flumps to the ground, right? And then it looks at the feet and it says, oh, upon closer inspection, it actually appears these are loafers. And it's a reference to itself, but it's also a joke. That's how that plays in The Simpsons.
Yeah. I guess that's that, though. Who is our lovely supporter producer for this episode here today?
Executive producer of this episode is Alex K. Much appreciated, Alex K, for executive producing this episode. Of course, all of the producers are found over at patreon.com/turntopagecast. Those at or above the hardcover tier are picked on a rotating schedule as the executive producer of the episode. Again, thank you to Alex K for being so.
Big, big thank you. Huge thank you, everybody. Everybody over on patreon.com/turntopagecast. If you want to help out the podcast in a free way, you can go over to youtube.com/@turntopagecast, like some comments on the videos. Over there is a very helpful way to boost algorithmic things there, leaving reviews on whatever podcast site you're listening to it on. All of that stuff is a wonderful way to help out for completely free. If you'd like to do that, that would be wonderful, because this is fun to do and it'd be neat to feel like we should do it more. And that's a good way to help make that happen. But I think that's that. It's going to do it here for today. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Adios.